Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week.
The scripture lesson for this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from chapter 2. I'm actually doing verses 1 to 4 and 2 to 12. This is the ancient Epiphany story. Hear now the words of the Gospel of Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who is to be born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied. And then King Herod told the Magi secretly, and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. We're going to use four songs to talk about the movement through Epiphany and into the rest of the season of the church year and the season of life for all peoples, whether they be Christians or not. It's important to remember, you know, when we get into the celebration of Christmas, which starts earlier and earlier every year, my gosh, what's going on? We start getting joyful and get all these good feelings, and it's going to be fun and frolic, and all kinds of neat things are going to be happening. And we want to feel good, and we do feel good through Christmas. But it's important to remember that back in the day of Jesus when he was born, things weren't good at all. It was a tough time, lots of tensions, not only in Israel, but around the known world. The great Roman peace had started, a Roman peace that was led by power, by the various Caesars, and by threats of the cross. And so if you didn't follow what you were supposed to be doing, you were in big trouble. You were either going to be a slave or hung to a cross. And that's the way this Pax Romana worked. And so a lot of people were having a lot of tensions about, how are we going to get through our days? And then we read, you know, for the Jews, we read these Old Testament prophecies of a son will come and a Messiah will be born and set us free. And they didn't see any signs of hope at all. They were waiting for the good times to get better. And note that these wise men, the Magi, came from the east. They weren't in the Israeli territories. They were in the old lands of Persia and Babylon. We remember them from biblical history. And those lands were crumbling and falling apart. It was a tough time for them as well. political, social unrest, economic chaos. And then we look at our times and we think, well, we've got it a lot better, but look what's happening around the world. You know, past couple of weeks, Russia's announced they've got this infernal missile that goes faster than sound, and Putin has said, you know, you can't stop us now. You better be careful. And then we're deciding, well, maybe we better ramp it up too. And it's like so frightening. It's like an arms race is on the verge of starting again. Where's that all going to end? And nations are rising up against nations. North Korea, South Korea, China, Russia. Crazy times. But at least we live in America where it's peaceful and everybody's unified. So we're living in tough times. And so we're like the people in the days of Epiphany. They were waiting for times to get better. And that's what this first song is all about. Brian's going to sing Waiting for Times to Get Better. So it was tough times. Any strangers ride in. Notice that the New International Version calls them Magi, which is the original text. We came to look at him in a slightly different way and built a song based on fabrication. Now, we'll be singing this wonderful song. It's called what? Okay. Does the Bible say there were three of these people? It says three gifts. Does the Bible say they were kings? No. They're magi. And I think it's absolutely fascinating. Because these magi were ancient priests of a foreign religion in the land which is now Iran. It's kind of a precursor almost to Islam. Zoroastrianism was the name of the religion. A man found insight into God. Zarathustra was his name. And the basics of Zoroastrianism is that there are two forces in the world, good and evil, light and darkness. And that this great God, who they called Ahura Mazda, God knew that things were coming to a head. And in their belief system, they realized that God was going to act at some point in history. Nobody knew when or where. And they believed that you could follow the unfolding of the future by watching the stars, which is where astrology came from. These ancient peoples were watching the movement of the stars, trying to interpret what God was doing for the world and for the people of the world. Many of these priests became corrupt and decided to make some bucks on watching and predicting the future. And these guys became a kind of a sub-cult. And so their names were called not magi, but magicians. That's where the word magic comes from, this ancient predicting and pulling strings and all that jazz. But there was apparently a group of these serious magi, Zoroastrian priests sitting on a hillside one evening in Iran, and they saw this star, and they knew that God was acting. And so they followed this star. And here is an ancient religion, Zoroastrianism, riding in to Israel to find this star, the Fravashi, they called it, a guiding soul that would lead them to the birth of what Ahura Mazda had promised. And I think it's a beautiful imagery because one of the images of Epiphany is Jesus isn't the king of the Jews or the Christians. Jesus is the king of the world. And we need to open ourselves to the love of other people because deep down we all want the same thing. We want to be respected. We want to be treated with dignity and we want to reach out and help each other. And so the recognition of this by a foreign power coming into our culture is the song We Three Kings of Orient, okay, the East, are bearing gifts we carried so far of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so you'll have some of the slides, I think, printed where, even if you don't see the slide, you know the words, sing along with us, okay? And the way we've done this song, kind of cool. Picture yourself on a journey, and there's some ups, and there's some downs, and there's some fast places, and there's some slow places. You'll see what I mean, or you'll hear what I mean. The reason people were afraid was obviously because of Herod. People were also afraid of many other different things that went along with Herod's reign. They should have rejoiced. I mean, my golly, their own scriptures, the ancient Hebrew scriptures said, a king will come, it's going to lead you on and bring about the kingdom of God and set you free. And that's what the Jews were hoping for. It's interesting because people in the day of Buddha, when Buddhism was first starting, it was tough times and people were grabbing this and grabbing that and trying to hold on to cling to life. And if I give up something, I may die. And Buddha came along with these strange teachings. And one of the four noble truths of Buddhism is suffering is caused by inappropriate desire. And I'm suggesting that when Jesus was born into the world, part of his goal was to teach people to let go of all the stuff they clung to, their fears, their doubts. But that meant maybe saying no to Herod or not following the way. That could be scary. For Herod, it meant, oh my gosh, I'm the boss of the land, and if there's really a king coming, that's why this thing was a trick. He did what I'm saying. Show me where the king was born. I want to come and worship him. Well, of course he wanted to kill him. He wanted to knock off people who didn't agree with him. And that's scary when you have leaders around the world doing the same thing today. And so Jesus came into the world, and as he was preaching and teaching, many of his teaching had to do with don't cling to anything. Remember in the Gospel of Matthew, I think it is, in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking about, why do you worry about food and clothing? These are things we cling to. Don't get me wrong. I know I need food and I need clothing. But when I start thinking I have to have the best and the most, then I'm clinging. And Jesus said, why do you worry about all this? Your Heavenly Father will give you what you need. Let go of the clinging. And then he said, seek first. This is the thing we need to cling to. The kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you. Even at the very end of his ministry, because he taught us how to live, how to share, how to let go of hate, how to let go of all these negative capacities that cause tension in the world, to let go of everything. At the very end of his life, remember, he died on the cross. Well, sure you remember that, but it was interesting. In some of the Gospels, the first person that saw him was a woman named Mary. She was probably the closest person to Jesus through his whole life. And if you remember that scene, Mary comes up and she can't believe. She went to help embalm his body and it's gone. And she was weeping tears of sadness. And Jesus appeared. She didn't recognize him. And he says, Mary. And when he said her name, she recognized who. And the next human thing she wanted to do was to hug him. She wanted to cling to him. And Jesus says, Mary, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. So even Jesus was saying at this point, you don't cling to me as this man here. Let go. Let me fulfill my destiny as God the Son and return to the Godhead. And so that lesson is, don't cling to anything, but we always do that. And so the next song is a song that talks about clinging. It has to do with a person who had this beautiful songbird, and they just didn't want to let it go. It's tough.
Songbird in a golden cage, who she'd prefer the blue. How I crave the liquor of her song. Poor bird who has done no harm. What harm could she do? Her life long. My songbird wants her freedom. Now don't you think I know, but I can't find it my heart. Let my songbird go. I just can't let her go. Oh Lord, when your jeweler's eye stares into my soul. Take me, Lord, and purify. Heal me with the word. Lord, I pray a gift I dare not claim. My song. Now don't you think I know, but I can't find it in my heart to let my songbird go. I just can't let her go. My songbird wants her freedom. Now don't you think I know, but I can't find it in my heart to let my songbird go. I just can't let her go.
I think that's a beautiful song. I've played it a number of times with Brian singing, and I'm one of these people that just don't listen to words. Yeah, I'm listening to the music and wailing away on bass lines and all that stuff. When I first read the words to that song, I thought, what a beautiful song to help us tune into where we need to be as people, followers of Jesus Christ. So when this little baby grew up, think about it. Jesus grew up and he walked with us and he thought with us and he taught with us and he healed with us. And he revealed God to us and he died for us and he arose from the dead. And when he did all these things and we reflect on the life of Jesus, we realize that there were certain circles we were stuck in. Circles of greed and anger and hate. Somebody does something to me, I got to get back at him. And Jesus broke that circle. Jesus broke the circles of hate and holding grudges, comparing ourselves to others, getting our self-worth by being better than others. Jesus broke all those circles. Hallelujah, we're free. But there was one circle that Jesus clearly forged this, the iron chain to, that we might be set free. And that is one of the basic fears all human beings have, is the fear of death. In Israel, there were great arguments among the Israelites, the Hebrews. Do you survive after life, or when you're gone, you're extinguished? And that's why there were two great parties in ancient Judaism. The one party, the Pharisees, said, yeah, there's something after life, but it's really nothing to write home about. You just kind of exist. And the other party were called the Sadducees. People say, where'd they get that name? Well, they didn't believe in after. They believed that when you died, that was it. Gone, and it's over. And that's why they were sad, you see. So this last song is going to be a celebration of the circle of life that Jesus forged for us to live within. The life of hope and love and peace, forgiveness, sharing, caring. And Dickie's going to give you the rest. You don't have to be afraid of death anymore. That's the message. The Epiphany message is the light came into the darkness. The light shone. We follow the light. The darkness will never put it out. Amen.